Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Wonderful to have you with us today on this Thursday. We are beginning our fourth day of a series on the gifts of the Spirit, and it has been a wonderful biblical healing time as we've heard a balanced, solidly Christian treatment of those gifts of the Spirit. I'm so thankful for it. I've been in the charismatic movement for almost 30 years, and I know that there's great glory and power and deliverance in the gifts, but I also know that there's imbalance and an abuse of them that drives our non-charismatic brothers and sisters away. I want to see healing and wholeness and biblical balance, and that's what Derek's offering to us. Let's listen today as Derek continues to teach us about the power gifts of the Holy Spirit.
The two gifts of power that I've dealt with so far are the gift of faith and the gifts of healings. Today I'm going to speak about the third gift of power, the effecting or working of miracles. Healings and miracles are closely related. Nevertheless, they are distinct. Perhaps it'll be good just to begin by pointing out some differences between healings and miracles. Healings may be gradual. For instance, you may be healed of a disease like emphysema. It may take maybe hours or days or weeks. Often, too, healings are invisible. They take place in areas of the body which cannot be seen by the eye. On the other hand, miracles are normally visible. The result that they produce can normally be seen in some way, and frequently, though not necessarily, they're instantaneous. So let's just make those two points. Healings may be gradual and are often invisible. Miracles are normally visible and frequently instantaneous. However, the gifts of the Spirit are like the colors of the rainbow. They are distinct colors, and yet they shade off one into the other. And so healings shades off into miracles, and miracles shades off into healings, and both of them in turn are in some way related to faith. Let me give you examples of physical conditions that would require a miracle. For instance, if a person has had a middle ear removed by surgery, there's no way to heal a middle ear that isn't there. But I remember years back in my ministry, praying for a man. All he said to me was, "It's my ear." So I prayed. Later I met him. I said, "How's your ear?" He said, "It's fine." I said, "Tell me, what was wrong with it?" He said, "I'd had the middle ear removed by surgery." But he said, "I went back to the doctor to be checked up, who didn't know my problem, and he told me I had a perfectly normal and healthy ear." Looking back, I was rather glad that I didn't know what I was praying for when I prayed, because I think I didn't just question what God would do, I just released the power of God. Again, a person may have a short leg or a short arm, say maybe even a couple of inches shorter than the other. Well, there's no way to heal a short leg or a short arm. It isn't a sickness. And yet, I can testify to the glory of God, I've seen hundreds of people whose legs and arms have been visibly and physically lengthened through the working of miracles. Or another example, a person may have a broken bone that has set crooked and is permanently crooked. You can't heal a broken bone, but a miracle can straighten that broken bone. And again, I've seen that happen on a number of occasions. One of the interesting things about the working of miracles is that it often takes a specific inspired act to release God's miracle-working power. There's a principle here that faith without works is dead. Faith must be expressed by some appropriate and corresponding act to be released. I'll give you an example from the ministry of Jesus in John chapter 9. It says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him.' When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to the man's eyes and said to him, 'Go and wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is, in translated, 'sent.' So the man went away and washed and came back seeing. Now, that was a miracle, not just a healing. The man had never been able to see. His disease, his eyes had not, were not diseased. They probably weren't totally there. They may have been just empty sockets. And Jesus performed a very unusual action. He spat on the ground, made clay, and smeared the clay on the place where the man's eyes should have been, told him to go and wash in a certain pool. In faith and obedience, the man washed, and as a result of that act of obedience, the miracle working power of God was released through the clay on his eyes, and his eyesight came to him. You might ask yourself, well, why did Jesus do something so unusual? I cannot seek to explain everything, but what impresses me about that is that clay was the original material of creation. When God made man's body in the first place, he formed it out of clay. And then the spirit of life from God breathed into that clay and made it a living person. And I think when Jesus performed that miracle, he was serving notice on the people of his day, the Creator is still with you. He took the original material of creation, put it on the man's eyes, and when the man, by his act of faith and obedience, released the power of the Holy Spirit made out of that clay two perfect eyes. Now, I would like to say that this is something I've learned in personal experience. Many, many times I've learned that it takes a specific act to release God's miracle power. I think of a lady I prayed for once in South Florida who had arthritis. She had been bedridden for 5 months. She was brought to the church in a wheelchair and brought up to the front and sat there. At the end of my message, I began to minister to the sick. I was asked by the people who'd brought her to pray for this lady, and I kneeled down in front of her, took hold of her feet, and had the faith that I'd released God's miracle-working power through my hands into her body. But she still sat there. I believed she was healed, but she was completely passive. Then I did something that took a little nerve. I said, get up and start to walk. I gave her my hand and pulled her out of the chair, and I wondered really what was going to happen next. She looked at me incredulously for a moment, then very hesitantly she began to take a step, found she could do it, took the next, began to walk, and within 30 seconds she was running right around the church building. But I realized, looking back, if I'd never given her that prompting, if I'd never made her do something, the miracle-working power of God would never have been released into that woman. So remember, it takes an act many times to release the miracle-working power of God.
Isn't it marvelous to hear that the gifts of the Spirit sometimes work gradually? That we don't have to have that sort of instantaneous, if it's God, it happens in 2 seconds kind of attitude, but that healings can appear gradually and the gifts of the Spirit can work progressively. This lifts the performance pressure and lets us really apply our faith in a consistent manner. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're here. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and Derek is about to say something in this upcoming portion that's very important. He says the gift of prophecy has been in operation all throughout the history of God's people. You know, he's right. From the beginning of Christianity to Martin Luther all the way to the present day, prophecy has operated. Let's listen.
Now I'm going to start dealing with the three vocal gifts. That is, the gifts that necessarily operate through human vocal organs. These three gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Today, I'll be speaking about the gift of prophecy. First of all, I'll try to define it. Prophecy is the ability granted by the Holy Spirit to a believer to speak forth words that proceed from God, that do not come from the believer's own understanding or reasoning or education. I'll say that again. Prophecy is the ability granted supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to a believer to speak forth words that come from God, that do not come from the believer's own wisdom or understanding or education, and so on. Now, this gift of prophecy has been in operation throughout the history of God's people from the earliest times. We find it several times in the book of Genesis. For instance, in the case of Isaac blessing Jacob. This is a remarkable case. Isaac, the father, imagined that he was blessing the older twin, Esau. But Jacob had impersonated Esau and presented himself to his father, Isaac, who was blind. Isaac, in his blindness, laid his hands on Jacob, supposing him to be Esau, and blessed him. Later on, it was discovered that he'd blessed Jacob, not Esau. Esau pled with his father to reverse the blessing. But Isaac said, I can't do that. I've blessed, and he shall be blessed. So we see how the words that Isaac spoke prophetically did not proceed from his own understanding and actually were above his own ability to reverse or undo. We get a similar case with Jacob later on blessing the two sons of Joseph. Joseph had his ideas of which should receive the greater blessing. But inspired and prompted by the Holy Spirit, Jacob crossed his hands and blessed Ephraim, the younger, more than Manasseh, the older. And again, Jacob said, I can't change it. It's God's doing, not mine. So we see that through prophecy, a believer can become a channel of the counsel of God, of the purposes of God, given forth in words that proceed from God and not from the believer. They are given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Now, the New Testament has a lot to say about the exercise of this gift. Now, first of all, we look at the purposes for which it's given. These are stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 6, where Paul says, But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. That is, the one who prophesies speaks on God's behalf to men. And the end purpose is stated in three words, edification, exhortation, and consolation. You may say it a little more in contemporary speech. The purpose of prophecy is to build up, to stir up, and to cheer up. I'll say that again. To build up, to stir up, and to cheer up. Definitely, the gift of prophecy is not given to produce dictators, people who go around making arbitrary declarations of what other people ought to do. Let me tell you this very definitely and firmly. There are no dictators in the body of Christ. And anyone who uses prophecy to make himself or herself a dictator is misusing the gift. We need to look into this. For this reason, the scripture states very clearly that all prophetic utterances are to be subject to judgment. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul says, Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. It's important to see that normally, though not invariably, in the New Testament, prophets operated together. They were fellow members of the same body. It wasn't a case of one man who was far above the level of the others making pronouncements that everybody else had to accept, whether they agreed with them or not. So Paul says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the other prophets pass judgment. Let them determine on behalf of the body whether these utterances really are from God, and we should give heed to them. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul says this, Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Paul guards against two mistakes. The first is despising prophetic utterances and rejecting them altogether. The second is just believing all of them without any examination. He says, don't despise them and don't quench the spirit. But on the other hand, when a prophetic utterance comes, examine it carefully and hold fast only to that which is good. I'm reminded of something I used to say to the Africans when I was working amongst them some years ago in East Africa. I said to them, remember, not everything that the missionaries have brought you is good. Some things are good, and some are not so good. But I said, that's no big problem. When you Africans eat fish, you know what to do. You swallow the flesh, and you spit out the bones. And I said, you do the same. And I say that again today. We don't have to swallow all prophecy. We swallow the flesh, which does us good. We spit out the bones, which wouldn't do us any good. I've said that prophecy needs to be judged. How are we to judge it? I want to give you now three simple, practical, scriptural tests. First of all, does the prophecy agree with Scripture? The Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. So the Holy Spirit will never say through prophecy something that is contrary to Scripture. The second test is this. Does the prophecy uplift Jesus Christ? The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church is to reveal and uplift Jesus Christ. Anything that does not uplift Jesus Christ is not from the Holy Spirit. Revelation 19:10 tells us this specifically. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All true prophecy centers in the person of Jesus. The third question, does the prophecy edify God's people? We remember that that was one primary purpose, edification of God's people. If the prophecy doesn't build up, doesn't strengthen, doesn't encourage God's people, then there's no reason to believe that it's from the Holy Spirit.
You know, thank God that Derek is teaching us about the checks on prophecy. We all know people who have gone to extremes. Derek has taught us that prophecy must agree with Scripture, it must lift up Jesus Christ, and it must edify the people. Thank God that the gifts operate in concert with the Word of God. There's so much more like this to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Very thankful that you're here. We're in a wonderful series by Derek Prince on the gifts of the Spirit, and he's just about to take us into the life of Timothy and talk to us about the place of prophecy in Timothy's life. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us on the gifts of the Spirit.
If we turn to the ministry of Jesus for examples of prophecy, interestingly enough, we can't find them. I believe the reason is that all that Jesus said and did was prophetic. So there was no particular situation in which he was specifically prophesying because his whole ministry was prophetic. However, there are other examples of prophecy in the New Testament which are interesting and helpful. I'd like to look at one in the life of Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul writes as follows to Timothy. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight. Now, we have to fill in the background. Elsewhere in his epistles, Paul says that Timothy was appointed to his special ministry by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery with prophecy. In other words, it would appear that the particular course of Timothy's life that God had planned for him was indicated through the gift of prophecy, and that through the gift of prophecy, Paul and the elders were moved to lay hands on Timothy and set him aside for his ministry. And it would appear also that those prophecies gave great encouragement and promise to Timothy of what God could do through him. But when Paul wrote this first epistle, he was warning Timothy against the spirit of fear, against giving up. And one of the things he said was, remember the prophecies that went before. You remember that God is with you, and though you may have opposition and trouble, nevertheless, God is going to fulfill what he's promised. Well, this is a very beautiful use of prophecy, which I've experienced several times in my own life when I have been discouraged or oppressed or wondered whether I could make it through. I've recalled prophetic utterances that have been given in the past, and they've encouraged me and strengthened me. However, we need to say one word of warning about directive prophecy. It should not be the only means of guidance in your life. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Don't act only on a prophecy. Let it be one of the means which will guide you into God's will. Now, I'll just close with a brief testimony from personal experience. Some years back, I was in England preaching in a church that I'd never visited before or since. I was due to speak in the Sunday morning service, but I arrived there early and the people were having a prayer meeting before the service. So I knelt down and prayed with them, and after a while, I heard various people giving prophetic utterances. And they were speaking to a certain person and about a certain person and describing things in that person's past life. And suddenly I realized with a shock that I was the person. And I knew for sure that none of those persons knew anything about my past. Well, when God had got my attention in this way, then they began to make statements about what God intended to do through me in the future. In particular, a new kind of book that God was going to prompt me to write. And this really spoke to me, gave me encouragement and direction at a critical moment in my life. And let me say that later on, that particular kind of book I actually did write, and it's now in print. So here's an example of encouragement, direction, stirred up, cheered up, motivated by the gift of prophecy.
You know, once we accept what Derek is teaching us about the biblical nature of prophecy, that prophecy must align with Scripture and it must fit certain checks and categories, it begins to make us a little bit more relaxed about the use of the gift of prophecy. I remember Derek telling us many stories about how someone would come up with a prophecy and Derek would say, you know what, that's not the Lord. Please sit down. And what it does is it frees us. You can be with a group of people and someone can think that they have a prophecy and they can share it, and others can say, you know what, I appreciate you sharing that, but we're not convinced that's the Lord today. And it can just be gentle, and therefore we don't have these heavyweight prophecies, you know, go to Africa and people's lives are destroyed by it. I love the fact that we can be normal, we can be biblical, we can be whole, and we can be loving. Listen, there's more like this to come, but you want to log on the website at derekprince.org. You'll not only be able to hear this teaching, but there's actually a clip on there where Derek is talking about his own experience with prophecy, and this will just help you deepen in the truth that he's been teaching today. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's book, You Shall Receive Power, available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.